Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
An economic overhaul.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. In a little more than a month, Barack Obama will be sworn in as 44th President of the United States. He's had the past month and a half to assemble a team of economic advisors, and there is a gathering consensus on what kind of stimulus package will come from his administration. Insiders say it could have a price tag of $850 billion over 2 years. What's being floated around right now? No tax hikes, not even for the rich, and low and middle income tax cuts. Today, Obama is expected to tap Mary Shapiro to head up the Securities and Exchange Commission. If her name sounds familiar, that's because she served as commissioner there before and headed up the Commodity Futures Trading Commission as well. More on her resume this morning from Elisa Roth.
Mary Shapiro will be the first woman to hold the SEC chair position permanently. She was named acting chair under President Clinton. Clinton also named her head of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. John Coffey studies securities regulation and corporate governance at Columbia. He says Shapiro's pedigree may hint at the new administration's plans for Wall Street.
One factor behind her selection may be a desire of the Obama administration to seek to push a merger of the SEC and the CFTC.
It's an idea that's been tossed around before. The CFTC is like the SEC for the commodities trading business. Shapiro was an SEC commissioner under President Reagan. She was then reappointed by the first President Bush. Shapiro will have to be confirmed by the Senate, and she may face some controversy even before her job really starts. She appointed a son of disgraced Wall Streeter Bernie Madoff to a national committee in 2001. Both Madoff sons say they were not involved with their father's Ponzi scheme. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
European markets are mixed at this hour. London and Frankfurt are up. Paris is down slightly. Asian markets mostly gained traction. The Hang Seng added 0.25%. The Nikkei added a little more than 0.5%. The Dow lost more than 1% yesterday. NASDAQ and S&P shares lost ground as well. Oil briefly touched the $39 a barrel mark today, and you'd think more people would be buying cars. But an anemic economy seems to be hurting everyone. American car makers are idling plants, and Ford sold off the Jaguar and Land Rover brands to the Indian company Tata. That company's been struggling lately, too. And with three Jag plants in the UK, Tata may be looking for British government help. In London, Stephen Beard reports.
When Tata bought the company in June, it said these two iconic British brands had global growth potential, but Tata has since cut production, and out of 15,000 British jobs, 850 will be gone by the end of the month. The British government says it's now talking to Tata about a bailout. No word yet about how much is required. The idea of taxpayers' money propping up a foreign-owned company might meet stiff resistance in the States, but not in Britain, says David Bailey of the Birmingham Business School.
Britain is different to the US in that it is much more open to foreign investments than the United States. Key industries have been taken over by foreign companies. They're seen as the fabric of the economy. I don't think there's a political problem about giving financial assistance.
Nevertheless, the British government says it doesn't have an open checkbook to bail out ailing private companies. Some commentators say Jaguar Land Rover is most likely to get either a government loan or loan guarantee. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
For Live Nation, a deal with U2 may not be the sweetest thing. It's been a few years since the Irish band went on tour, but a deal with a concert promoter includes part of a payout that would come from stock. The Wall Street Journal reports Live Nation guaranteed U2 $25 million for 1.6 million shares. But then the market tanked, the shares are worth only a fraction of that, and U2 wants to sell. That means Live Nation could be forced to pay millions to fulfill its contract, something it says it'll do to hold up its end of the bargain.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Gather.com. If it's happening in the world, it's being discussed on Gather. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
The Israeli-occupied West Bank has been relatively calm the last few months. And tourists are taking advantage. They're flocking in record numbers to Bethlehem to visit the historic birthplace of Jesus Christ. Most don't venture beyond, and that's something Palestinian business leaders want to change. Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
The Roman ruins of Sebastia, a few hours north of Bethlehem, date back more than 2,000 years. Here among the olive groves, you'll find some of the region's most extensive archaeological remains. And there's not a soul in sight.
As you see, we're in a large parking lot that's empty, and you see a number of shops that are closed as well because there are not many tourist traffic coming here.
At least not since 2000, when Israeli soldiers blocked access to the village after the second Palestinian uprising. Today, me and my guide, Nasser Abu Farha, are the only visitors, and word gets out fast. Adli Mahmoud Musla unbolts the heavy doors to a souvenir shop and invites us in.
When was the last time you made a sale from the shop to a tourist?
Almost a year ago, a small sale.
Musla hopes that peace with Israel will someday usher in a new era of tourism for the West Bank. But Palestinian-American businessman Sam Bahor says that era won't come without new investments, and the time to make them is now.
In normal business terms, high risk means high return. Putting seeds into the economy today may pay off big time.
Both for investors and for the Palestinian people, the recent tourism revival in Bethlehem has helped cut the city's unemployment rate by more than half. And that's also good for Israel. Bahor says every new job means one less protester throwing rocks at Israeli tanks.
The day the Israelis wake up and understand that this occupation is not only affecting us, but it's even affecting their own ability to grow, I think that we are going to see an influx of tourists that will be written about for a very long time.
That day could not come any sooner to towns like Sebastia. As we leave, dozens of young men play soccer in a parking lot built for tour buses. And the shopkeeper I spoke with closes his store again, hoping another year won't go by before he makes his next sale. In the West Bank, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Enjoy your Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.